gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1204. This is your host, Danny Pena, live from Los Angeles. And it's going to be a solo episode today. Pete can't join, and also Paris. And in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of things happening behind the scenes that you're not going to see us a lot online because of it. But stay tuned. We're still going to plan to have new content for you guys. And also, very quickly, I want to mention this, that April 26th, I'm going to have my fireside session. This is a keynote session at Games Beat, where you could watch this live for free. You just go right now to gamesbeatsummit.venturebeat.com. If you want, just to go to the description under here of this episode, and all the links is there. But yeah, I'm having a session with Reggie Fils-Aimé. Our session is called Entertainment Disrupted. This is going to be a 45-minute session, and I'm going to have a lot of questions for Reggie of things that's been happening in the gaming industry overall. I just want to get his thoughts about it. So I am planning to post an audio version of that session in the future. Don't know exactly when. Just stay tuned. It's going to be available here on Gamertag Radio. But if you want, just go now to the website and you can watch it live for free virtually. Or if you're here in LA or you plan to be in LA, you could also buy tickets. All the information is there. And make sure to check it out. All right. Now, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, and also post your review. If you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple of topics here, and also we have a voicemail from a listener. So I want to start a conversation with this, man. The whole crew, we always talk about Xbox Game Pass. It's a service that we really, really love. One is an easier way for us to discover new games. And I mention this a lot, even low-income family that can't buy games every time, you know, they could go and use this service and they could discover so many games by paying monthly, of course, you know. But Game Pass is amazing. I just love the engagement, love that more people are actually playing the games. So many cool indie games for people that have been discovering. And recently, Guardians of the Galaxy has been doing pretty good. The dev said that it's finding its audience after a slow start. And I get it. In the beginning, you know, people played the Avengers game that was available. That came out, I think, from Crystal Dynamics. And a lot of people probably didn't like it. So they probably thought the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. I played this game when it came out. I thought the game has been amazing and everything. And I'm glad that it's getting a new audience because of Xbox Game Pass. So I'm going to look at the article. This is from videogameschronicle.com. Again, it says here, the developer said that it's now finding its audience following a slow start. And this game was developed by Eidos Montreal. And this came out back in October of 2021. It was even got nominated for a couple categories during the Game Awards. And the game got really, really positive reviews, you know. But it came out during a time where there was a lot of games that came out. So the game just came out on the Game Pass. Here's a couple things that the director, the senior narrative director, told Eurogamer. For me, it's all about creating the game. What I love right now is that people, especially with Game Pass, are playing it and they're sharing their experience. We make games to touch people. We make games to hit an audience. And it's great that it's finding its audience. And it's great that it's keep going forward. I think that's really, really positive. I'm glad that the game is getting a lot of engagement. And people are playing it for the first time. You know, this is a single player game. Highly recommended for you right now. If you have Xbox Game Pass, go and download this game. The story is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So let me know what your thoughts. And also, he added, this is from the senior creative director. He says, it's like anything, we always want to sell trillions, but it's not always necessary as easy as that. Very, very true. It's not easy for a game, especially a single player game, to sell a lot of copies. I mean, we could talk about Elden Ring and a couple other ones, The Witcher. There is some gems that sells a lot, but it's not that many games, man. So he also added that, but it's a great ride, and it's something that this year or last year that you have played that is unlike everything else and is worth spending your time on. I honestly think it is from a game standpoint. I have no regrets. We did everything we could, but that's the reality of the market. And let's not forget, it's a new IP. Even though we say all Guardians of the Galaxy are known, it's still a new IP in the video game market. It could be a lot of people that don't know about the game. The game is out. Or they're just not sure exactly what it is, which is it's exactly the reason why I love about Xbox Game Pass, because you download the games, you try it out, and you decide, hey, should I continue playing it? And there's even people that love the game so much, because remember, there's a contract that's only going to be available there for a certain amount of time. Once the game is out, maybe the consumers that have been playing it through their service, now they were like, okay, I'm going to go and buy it. The game is a lot cheaper. Sometimes you even get discounts through the service. So I think that's a great, great thing, man. I'm very, very happy to see the success of a game like this on Game Pass. Now, speaking about Game Pass, this is a very, very interesting article. Again, this is from VideoGameChronicles.com. And here's the title of the article, because we're going to stick to the conversation about Xbox Game Pass. 46% of U.S. PlayStation and Nintendo players will consider Xbox Game Pass if it adds Activision titles. Now, we're going to go different ways here. Imagine if Xbox Game Pass comes out for the PlayStation or Nintendo. I think people will actually sign up because there's going to be a lot of games there. Now, if let's just say this game, let's say Call of Duty or any other Activision games that is available on Xbox Game Pass, I think a lot of them will sign up just for that. You know, now, again, if the game is also available on PC and console, that will be a lot easier for people to just make their choice. But yo, 46% of players that are owners of PlayStation and Nintendo consider Xbox Game Pass. And my question to you, why is that? Why are people are having this conversation? The reason is, this is a way for people to save money and just play these games. Now, I mentioned this a couple times in the past where I want to, all right. Okay, let's go with the research where they got this. So this is according to a research from YouGov, which polled 1,200 U.S. adults and 1,200 U.K. Online back in January. It found that inclusion of Activision titles on Game Pass will also tempt 43% of Xbox gamers, 42% of PC gamers, and 20% smartphone game-based in U.S. to subscribe. Now, in the UK, 48% of Xbox players indicated that inclusion of the Activision titles in Game Pass would may consider subscribing ahead of 29% for PlayStation, 26% for Nintendo and PC players, and, of course, 20% of smartphone gamers. Now, ever since the announcement of Microsoft acquiring Activision, which cost $68.7 billion, so far is the biggest so far of a company acquired another one, so in gaming. But Phil Spencer says this: upon close, we will offer as many Activision Blizzard games as we can within the Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass, both new titles and games from Activision incredible catalog, which is a lot of games. Of course, imagine all the Call of Duty games. We even can go back, maybe some Tony Hawk games, some platform games. There's so many where they could easily add that to the service. So even bring back some old school games that came out back in the Atari games, man. Atari days, they could add in there, you know. So it is pretty cool to see that almost half of these players in the United States alone will consider to subscribe to the service. It all depends on what type of content we get to see from Xbox. They will add this from the Activision Blizzard catalog. And I think this is really, really cool to see, man. So again, I would like to hear your thoughts about this. Do you think this is a great thing? Is it a bad thing? Do you agree with it? Are you even signed up to Game Pass? Are you planning to get this in the future? Let us know. We will talk about it here on the next episode of Gamer Attack Radio. Now, again, it looks like Kingdom Hearts 4 is official. There was a debut trailer that just came out. The game was announced as part of the 20th anniversary of Square Enix event of Kingdom Hearts. And this event held in Tokyo, Japan, today, Sunday, the time of this recording. So the debut trailer, they show a couple of things there. I haven't really seen much of it. This is like a breaking news thing, but I would like to get your feedback about this. Are you excited about it or what? I played the last Kingdom Hearts game that came out. Didn't like it. I think the game overall was kind of confusing, but there's a huge audience that is very, very excited about Kingdom Hearts 4, which was announced today in Tokyo. So I would like to get your thoughts about this, man. And yeah, make sure to send us questions and thoughts about this, man. Here are fan mail at gamertagradio.com. Oh, no, another thing that was very, very exciting that I got super, super hype about. I'm a huge fan of Remedy. You guys know that I love Alan Wake. I love Control, Quantum Break also. And believe it or not, I played Max Payne back in the days, man, part one and two. Now, the good news is Remedy is remaking Max Payne 1 and 2. So for those that don't know, Max Payne was originally created from Remedy back in the days. Remedy sold the rights and IP to Rockstar Games. And it looks like Rockstar released a Max Payne game a couple years back. This is during the 360 days it came out. I can't quite remember. So Remedy just announced a couple of days ago that they're remaking, not a remaster, remaking Max Payne 1 and 2 for current gen systems. I know there was a press release that came out. This is very, very exciting. This is from first of all, both games will use Remedy's Northlight game engine. This is the engine that Remedy has been using for Quantum Break and also Control. Right now, it's in the concept development stage, so we're not going to see this in a very, very long time. Because right now, Remedy is working on the next Alan Wake, which is now going to be a horror game, which I'm very excited about that. So if you watch the Game Awards, that was like a quick announcement to show the trailer of the game. And most likely, we probably will see something during the Summer Game Fest, which is happening sometime this summer. The game, originally, the first two games of Max Payne was released back in 2001 and 2003. The game got very, very high praise and great reviews because of the groundbreaking visual effects, including that slow-mo bullet time effect, similar to what we've seen in The Matrix. So Remedy sold the rights, which I mentioned this earlier, to Rockstar Game, Take-Two, for $34 million, man. So I'm glad that Rockstar and Take-Two reached out to Remedy for them to work on this, and I think this is really, really cool. I'm very, very excited. Here's one thing. This is from the Rockstar founder, Sam Houser, said, we're thrilled when our longtime friends at Remedy approach us about remaking the original Max Payne games. We're massive fans of the work the Remedy team has created over the years, and we can't wait to play the new versions. Remedy CEO mentioned this, that Max Payne has always held a special place in the hearts of everyone at Remedy, and we know that millions of fans worldwide feel the same. We're hugely excited to be working with our partners at Rockstar Games once again for the chance to bring the story in action and atmosphere of the original Max Payne games back to players in new ways. Very excited about this. I can't wait. I'm excited about Alan Wake. I love Control. Love Alan Wake. Love everything that Remedy has done in the past. Even with Quantum Break, I think they had an amazing time with that game. Now, for those that don't know, all the Remedy games is part of the same universe. So, of course, Max Payne, Control, Alan Wake, even Quantum Break, all those in the same universe. If you play the original Alan Wake, you'll find just like hints of and just Easter eggs about Max Payne and everything. So very excited. I'm wondering if there's going to be new Easter eggs added to this game, so it could even be more connected to the games that Remedy worked in the past. So stay tuned for this. Again, we're not going to see anything about this for a very, very long time, maybe in a couple years from now. So let me hear your thoughts. Are you very, very excited about this or what? Let me know. Another thing that Epic Games just released right now, and this was just a couple days ago. I haven't watched the presentation, but I know the Unreal Engine 5 is officially out. Now, because of the news, there was a couple of announcements where we found out that Crystal Dynamics is working on the next Tomb Raider using this engine. Very excited about that because I love Tomb Raider. Played it when it was out for the Xbox One a couple years back, and had a great time. I played all three, and I'm glad that they're bringing back a new Tomb Raider. So now I just find out that now in a couple weeks, we're going to find out more about Halo Infinite Season 2, which the team are adding new maps, new modes, and even events that's happening all next month. So it launches May 3rd. Now, I watched the teaser trailer they showed of the new season. And again, I'm not really too excited about it because I just want to know more details about everything. Plus, I want to see new videos of all the modes, the new maps, and hopefully this will get me excited about season two. The thing about season one that I this is the main reason why I stopped. I finished the season. There was nothing else to do, right? And then my friends stopped playing, but I just felt like there was not that much content for season one. I hope during season two, we're going to get to see a lot more of that. I just want brand new gear, brand new content, stuff that is going to make me want to go back and play Halo Infinite. Look, there was a time that I was playing that game, especially the multiplayer, nonstop. I was just playing it a lot with friends, even with my fiance, Rihanna, my brother, even members from the gaming community from GTR. We played it. It was a lot of fun. But once you do everything, what else are you going to do in there, man? There's no way, there's no reason for me to go back and play Halo Infinite. So I don't know, but it says here, this is from the post, this is you can find this I think it was like the website or the Twitter page, but it says gear up for season two of Halo Infinite, experience fresh content including new modes, new maps, theme limited time events, and an all new battle pass that never expires, which is great. While the trailer doesn't really give much away, 343 Industries have said this in the past, that the new Battle Pass will allow players to earn credits to spend in in-game shop of items, on items, cosmetics, and even for the next battle pass. Season 2 is also expected to fix the lack of content that has the community simply out of patience. Look, here's the thing. I love 343. I love Halo Infinite. But there was no content. I stopped playing. People were impatient. People are a huge fan of Halo. Why are they going to go back? And I think hopefully this will fix everything. Oh, plus, there was even issues where people were even cheating from like from the PC side, which it's it makes the experience even worse. I think staying quiet is not helpful. I'm glad that at least they're being more vocal now, and hopefully this will make people to come back again and play Halo, man. So I don't see this as a complete failure just yet. This is just a bump. And this is a learning experience for 343. But again, this is one of the biggest IPs for Microsoft. They need to come back strong. They need to come back strong if they really want people to be excited about Halo. If you go back to the early days of Halo, look, especially Halo 2, I was playing that game for a very, very long time. Even when the Xbox 360 came out, I will go back and play Halo 2. Same thing with 3. And so on. But for some strange reason, with Halo Infinite, we stopped. There was not much content to do, man. And especially now, it's a totally different time where we will get to see now more games out there that is free, that's playable, cheap, everything. It's more distracting nowadays than back in the days, because back then there was not that much games going on, you know, like coming out. Compared to now, every day is a new game. You can find this on PC, on other platforms, etc. So, yeah. Again, 343, this is your opportunity for you to get us hype again, to go back and play Halo Infinite, man. So, this is your opportunity, man. All right. So, I'm going to play a voicemail. This is for fan mail, of course. But I'm going to play this very quick. If you guys would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a new voicemail here for Gamertag Radio, and let's play it right now.
Hey, yo, it's Deadman here from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Huge fan. Been listening for quite a few years now. Every chance I can get throughout the week, as much as you guys post episodes during work to keep me busy and, you know, sane. But I have a hard time judging and critiquing a game if it's good or not. Of course, you gotta have fun with the game, obviously. That's like kind of like the number one for me. But when discussing games with my friends and other people, if it's good or not, I don't really know how to kind of debate that and what to look for and what steps to take. And if you guys have any tips about how to like judge a game and kind of like review a game, that'd be awesome. But keep up the hard work. Amazing job, guys. You guys are freaking amazing. But this is Deadman signing off.
All right, Deadman, thank you so much for the voicemail. So how do you review a game? Everybody's going to have different opinions about this, man. I'm not saying this is 100% exactly and perfect, but exactly like where everybody's doing, or this is perfect. But here's the thing. In my opinion, when I play a game, I want to talk about more about the experience. Is it worth it? Is it something where I've never experienced this before? I know some people would judge a game just on graphics alone or other things, but for me, it's the whole package, the music, the voice acting, the controls, just the experience of just interacting with things in the game or fighting or whatever it is, man. So when I review a game, that's what I look forward to. And when I debate and talk to the gamers or just friends, et cetera, right? What I always will bring up is this. Are you having fun? Because if you're not having fun with that game, then it's not for you. Now, when you go online and you see websites where they're reviewing games and they give a game, let's say, for example, Ghostwire Tokyo, we got to see a lot of sevens, maybe a six, etc., right? For me, that means the game is decent. It's not bad, but let me try it out. Some people will even enjoy this. If you go way back during the Xbox One days when Destiny came out, the first Destiny, that game got 6 out of 10 everywhere. And the reason was during that time, because this was a live a service game, there was not enough content and there was other issues that they were having with the game and it didn't get great reviews. But guess what? There was a lot of people in the community that love Destiny and they played it for a very long time. Some people will see a 7 out of 10 and they think the game is terrible. Not every game has to get a 10. Not every game is supposed to get an 8 or a 9. And again, everybody's going to have different opinions about it, man. You know, I recently, even before I started recording this, I was playing Ghostwire Tokyo, and I've been playing it on the PS5 and also on the PC. Is the game perfect? No. Is the game better than the previous game that the developers released a couple of years back, Evil Within 2, which is the scariest game that I played and is so, so much fun? It's not compared to Ghostwire Tokyo, if you compare the two. Ghostwire Tokyo is a decent game. It's something where people should try it out. You might like it. You might not. Might not at all. But that's how I review games. And when I talk to Paris and Pete, we have different opinions, man. And it's great to hear different opinions about it, man. You know, for example, I at first got a review copy of Elden Ring. I felt like it was not for me at first, right? I was like, I don't know. This game is not for me. Paris say the same thing, Pete. And again, everybody's going to have different reasons, right? But I said to myself the other day, actually a couple of weeks back, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this game a chance. I seen that the game is getting great reviews. I'm just going to go and try it out and see what happens from there. I tried out and I enjoyed it. Even my fiance too, she's been playing Elden Ring now for the past couple of weeks and she's having a great time. So again, first of all, thank you so much for calling us and for asking that question. But I think at the end of the day, man, it all depends on you. What type of games that you like? You know, there's games where other people like that I don't. You know, there's, for example, Mario Sunshine. A lot of people love Mario Sunshine. I've never been a fan of that game. Never. Even when it came out for the Nintendo GameCube back in the early days. Not for me. So that's in the perfect example, man. You know, am I right or am I wrong? No. Again, different opinions, man. So when you start having conversation about games with people, just have conversation. The people that are open to talk about it. Because here's the thing. There is going to be people that are going to argue or will take that your opinion personally and right away they'll start attacking you, etc. Those are the people you should not have a conversation with at all. But if it's people that just want to sit down and just learn and just talk, maybe they don't agree with you have to say about reviewing certain games, right? Have those conversations, man. Because I feel like we need to have those type of conversations in the industry overall. It's very, very helpful. It's a way for us to learn of what other people like in gaming, right? So go for it. Let me know your thoughts and I'm curious to hear what your crew has to say about that overall. So I'm very, very excited to hear more about this, man. So yeah, keep it up. And everyone, please continue continue to send questions to us here at GamerTagRadio.com, because this will be an easier way for us to talk about it and also read it here on GTR. So, yeah, let's continue doing that, man. All right, so we have another question here, and this is from Bernie. He says, hey, long time ago, I did a podcast with friends, and every time I listen to your podcast, I get the urge to do interviews again. They were so much fun to do. So I was curious if I could get an interview with the cast of Gamertag Radio. It will be the first, and what I hope it could be more interviews of other podcasts. Just reaching out to see if you guys are interested in something like this. Hey, Bernie, thank you so much. Here's the thing. We love doing interviews, but it's just the timing and everything that's going on behind the scenes with the whole crew. It's going to be really, really complicated to do that, man. So hopefully one day in the future, we'll see when things slows down. But as of right now, we don't have any plans to do that anytime soon with other podcasts. But let me tell you one thing, though, doing that of just interviewing other podcasts or even not even an interview, just have a conversation, man. Just have them on your show. This will be very, very helpful for people just discover your show, because this is like a cross promote. Like, for example, I'll invite Tony Polanco to be on a podcast and we just talk about games, you know? So we've done that. It's helpful because now people are going to discover his podcast, or people that have never heard of me and they listen to Tony, they will listen to Gamer Talk Radio because of that, man. We need more of that conversation. It doesn't have to be every single time an interview. You get what I'm saying? So
you're listening to Gamer Talk Radio.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor here of Gamer Talk Radio, and that's Bud Light Next. Zero Carbs Beer is here. We're excited to be one of the first podcasts to partner with the brand new Bud Light Next, their first zero carb beer. You heard that right. Zero carb beer. It's super crisp light beer with 80 calories and 4% ABV. A couple weeks back, I got a package from Bud Light, and they sent me this, and I even posted a video online. And I've been drinking it ever since. Even recently, when we were starting moving to the new place, I had still cans there, man. So I gave it to everybody who was helping us out, and everybody enjoyed it. I was looking at the reaction. They were like, this is really, really good. I enjoyed it. First of all, the drink is very crisp, refreshing, and light with unexpected amount of flavor for being zero carbs. I know I mentioned about the package I got a couple weeks back. I've been using that every time I play a game, like I say, Elden Ring, Tiny Tina, Ghostwire Tokyo. I'm drinking and I feel refreshed. Even if you're in the backyard, this is the opportunity to try it out, man. So here's what you got to do, guys. You don't believe us? Go try yourself. Go try Bud Light Next for yourself. It's in stores right now. So to find the retailer who delivers right to your door, head over to BudLight.com/next. That's BudLight.com/next. Remember, be responsible. Messaging is for 21 and over. Try it out. Bud Light Next. We'd like to say thank you to Bud Light for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
I think the most successful episode has been just conversation with me and the crew, man. You know what I'm saying? So, or when we have guests, I don't call those interviews at all. It's more of a conversation type of content. So just want to say that very quick. All right, guys, I'm gonna wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. That is super, super easy. Just do that. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, and even more importantly, post a review. Right now, if you go to Spotify, we have 224 reviews from you guys. Thank you so much for every single person that posts a review. Please continue. If you haven't posted a review, it takes a couple of seconds. Doesn't matter if it's an Apple Podcast or Spotify or any other podcast app. The more you do that, the more it's going to help us to get discovered, you know, and get more listeners. So we need support. And if you can, just share the content. Share the audio that you like, and people will get to hear it. And this also will help us out here, man. So make sure to do that. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, which I read an email and also played a voicemail, but you guys have the power to send us questions, and we could create a whole new episode just strictly questions from the fans. If you guys don't send it, I can't do it. P won't do it, or Paris. So it's up to you right now. If you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could be part of it.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Again, I have a couple of things happening in this month and actually next month. So I have a wedding coming up in the future. I'm also going to be doing Games Beat with Reggie Fizeme. Shout out to Dean Takahashi and the whole team over there at Games Beat for inviting me. Again, I'm also planning to post that audio on the podcast. I just don't know exactly what day. Just stay tuned. It's going to happen. I'm going to let you know. All right. But if you want to wait and you're not in town in LA, but you are from home, you could sign up virtually and it's totally for free. All you have to do, go to the description of this episode. I post the link there of Games Beat Summit. Just go there, register. It's a free ticket. You can watch it from home. All right. Or again, if you're local here in LA, you could also attend. You could buy a ticket from there too, man. So just want to say that. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1204. I'm planning to do more content. I'm also planning to stream now that the setup is all ready. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Until next time, I'm out. Take care. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.